Looking to stand out from the pack at your first job? When you earn a master's in management from Georgetown, you'll gain the skills employers value most, elevating your career prospects for years to come. Get started at choosegeorgetown.com/MIM.
Welcome to the Smart Driving Cars Podcast. Glad you're along for the ride. I'm Fred Fishkin, along with the faculty chair of Autonomous Vehicle Engineering at Princeton University, Alan Kornhauser. Good evening, Alan.
Hi, Fred.
It's been a snowy, messy day here in the east, but we're all safe and sound now, and we'll get right into it here. Ford has been making some headlines at a meeting with investors and some journalists in Miami, saying that it will launch a self-driving car service in multiple cities in 2021.
Well, I think that's nice that Ford is out there being aggressive. They've done a certain amount of investment in this area, and they're doing some demonstrations and some tests. And they're welcome, and it's nice that they're in there trying to compete. It's 2021 is in the future, but at least it's somewhat near future.
Well, that's when they're talking about having this commercial service. They did take some journalists for a ride in self-driving vehicles with safety drivers on board, we should add, and showed how their technology was able to do things like avoiding double-parked cars, pedestrians, and bicyclists. And I guess some journalists who were out there were pretty impressed with what they saw.
Yeah, well, I think that's all very good, and certainly they should be doing it with attendants on board. I mean, it really doesn't prove anything to do it without attendants on board. What they need to do is get themselves up to a level of confidence with the technology that they can actually deploy it without attendants on board, because otherwise it's not a business. It's a research project or it's a demonstration, but it can't scale and it can't really provide any societal benefit or the amount of societal benefit that it could if it was a real business doing it without attendance.
You know, and they're saying they're investing something like $4 billion over the course of about 5 years. And they expect this whole thing to be profitable. I don't know if they mean from the get-go, but they're looking at this as the ride-sharing service as being a moneymaker for them. Obviously, there's going to be plenty of competition.
Well, there's competition, and it's good that they see this as a potentially profitable operation, as opposed to it being like mass transit is today, being something that is subsidized and needing public support. So that's all good. And God bless them. If they provide a valuable service, people should be willing to pay for it, and they deserve a profit. So and of course, many of us believe that, in fact, mobility is valuable and that people are willing to pay for it, and therefore gives people an opportunity to make money. Ford has been making money selling cars, providing mobility through the sale of cars. There's no reason why they can't provide mobility and make money without selling cars, but just providing the mobility as a service. So God bless them.
Well, part of their message seemed to be with what they've been doing in Miami over the last 2 days, that they're farther along than a lot of people give them credit for, is what their message seems to be. Is that how you're seeing it?
Well, that's how I'm seeing it also. They did some substantial investment over the past few years, and they certainly have had teams of people working on the technology to be able to perform driverlessly. And so it's good and there's no reason for them to be out there telling anybody anything else up to this point. But now that they're really doing some demonstrations with with Walmart and a few other folks, and seriously doing it to provide mobility in Miami. It's good that they're out there at least touting what they've accomplished to date.
Yeah, and that thing with Walmart, they're talking about starting up a self-driving grocery delivery pilot.
Yes, and I think that's good also. Again, if you can provide the mobility without attendant and driverlessly, then it's not only people that need to be moved, but it's also goods. And of course, why not do it with a good partner like Walmart? Walmart is certainly trying to go in there and compete with Amazon in terms of the delivery of goods to people's homes. And so I think it's a great partner for them to have.
And since you mentioned Amazon, we'll bring up, you had been hoping to lure HQ2 into New Jersey, but Amazon has picked Northern Virginia and Long Island City in New York, kind of splitting the HQ2. But I guess you're hoping some of the technology that we focus on is going to come into play with what they're doing wherever.
Right, and I think their choice of Long Island City is a wise one. It would have been nice if it would have been on this side of the river as opposed to that side of the river. But again, there's an enormous market for them within the Northeast, and having a position in the Northeast in Queens is an excellent place. It's good that they didn't pick Manhattan because, my goodness, there's enough there. But in fact, doing Queens, they can probably provide a great deal of value to the people that live there, as well as providing opportunities for many in the Northeast. Welcome to the New York metropolitan area. Great that you picked us. Crystal City, I don't know. I guess because the Washington Post is there and Jeff Bezos is maybe there some of the time. But why go in and compete with a bunch of Beltway bandits for people and so on? I don't know. But I guess Crystal City welcomes them too.
Well, Waymo, in the meantime, will reportedly launch its paid driverless service early next month in Arizona. It will operate, according to Bloomberg, under a new name, competing with Uber and Lyft. And Alan, you raised some questions in your latest newsletter.
Well, I just want to see them do it. We've heard the gunners for a long time. When are we going to hear the doers? And in fact, them being out there, but it has been their schedule to do it by the end of the year, and they are still on schedule. And I guess because there's this in the media, it must mean that at least there's some information being leaked out of Waymo that in fact they are doing it, and they will do it. So this isn't just accidental. I'm sure it's part of the whole plan to start the service, and that's great. I think that one of the issues is going to be, at least early on, it's going to be driverless, but I'm almost certain it will be driverless with an attendant, and that's fine in the beginning. But the real hurdle in terms of making this into a business that scales and really does begin to deliver the benefits to society that it has the opportunity to deliver, it has to get to attendant lists. So it not only driver lists, but no attendants. And it probably will be with attendants in the beginning, and it probably should be until we all get very comfortable with it. And the all includes not only the people that are using it, but the people who live in the communities through which these vehicles will operate. and also the public sector in terms of various elected officials. But at some point, we'll all be comfortable with the fact that, oh my goodness, we really don't need an elevator operator in the elevator. It's just fine and dandy. We can get in and ride it without an operator. And that's a process. And the process is evolving. And they are about to take another major step along that process. But we, I doubt that we'll see this year attendantless, a driverless operation. In other words, the real business case where, in fact, the affordability of the ride and the quality of the ride and everything else is so great that, in fact, it can really provide all the benefits that many of us believe that, in fact, it can provide. But again, major step. They'll be first to do it. By that fact, they are absolutely the leader.
Right. And, of course, I think it's more than a leak that they're going to be doing it this year. John Krafcik, the CEO, has been pretty out front saying it's going to happen this year.
And he has been saying it. And as I said, they are on schedule. Okay. So we're waiting with bated breath here.
He's also quoted, John Krafcik is quoted elsewhere as saying, autonomous vehicles won't ever be able to drive in all conditions. And your response in the newsletter is sort of like, well, nothing can drive in all conditions.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, all conditions, people can't drive in Jersey right now. You know, I my house is a mile away and it took me a half hour to get home. My wife works a mile and a half away. It took her 50 minutes. So come on. And this is 3 inches of snow. All right, so we can't drive in all places. It's silly, this all business. It doesn't have to do all. It shouldn't be required to do all. One shouldn't even have the objective to do all. Let's do 80%, 90%, provide a great deal of benefit out there, and then every once in a while we'll just stay home. Okay, what's the big deal?
Well, Uber has come out with its safety report to NHTSA, as it plans to bring its testing program back, I think, in the Pittsburgh area. Thoughts about what you've read, Alan?
Well, I was the Uber report is very extensive, and they really do provide a great deal of detail in terms of their approach and what they're doing, and I applaud them for doing that. I think, you know, it really is excellent. What they don't do, unfortunately, is and maybe they don't need to, but they really don't emphasize the fact that they've learned a great deal from their one setback that they had in Arizona, and in fact that has caused them to substantially change their culture, and therefore they have gained enormous benefit and value out of that tragedy. So the tragedy has not been for naught. And in fact, they do realize that, my goodness, they talk a great deal about their operational domain, and that, in fact, they aren't going to operate these vehicles in a domain where things such as the automated emergency braking system doesn't work or is turned off. That's a major lesson that I'm sure that they learned, or hopefully that they learned out of the tragedy in Arizona, and they're going to work as hard as they can to not repeat that history. But they don't mention that in the report, and I guess they don't really have to, as long as they've learned the lesson. What's important is that moving forward, As other unfortunate lessons may be learned, I hope they also have a culture to share that with the industry, and that the rest of the industry also has the same culture, so that everybody can benefit from the unfortunate errors that we may have, simply because we don't know what we don't know. And there's still going to be an enormous amount of learning that we really can't do without actually doing. And so so I hope the whole industry in terms of their safety programs, really has it that in fact they'll cooperate when it comes to safety, as opposed to compete when it comes for safety. Everybody, it's in everybody's best interest to have these things be safe. Everybody will benefit from it being safe, and everybody really takes it on the chin if even one person falls down in the safety area. So it's really all for one and one for all in dealing with safety. But again, to praise them, I think they put out an excellent report.
And of course, with an expected IPO on the way, there'll be even more pressure to bear on them to do things right, I assume. Not that it should take that.
Well, of course. I mean, they can't trip again, okay? It's already affected their IPO. It would affect it even more and probably kill it. This was not a public relations document that was put out there. This actually had some substance in it. And again, I applaud them for that.
Forbes has a report out headlined, "Self-driving cars may kill that old real estate mantra of location, location, location." And you had some comments about that.
Well, you know, maybe, but again, one has to know what a self-driving car is. If it's my definition of self-driving car, then in fact, it's going to allow people to live wherever they farther away, and of course, then location. I don't know what it does to location, but it certainly doesn't improve congestion or utilization of energy or pollution or the environment. But the driverless entity, not so sure. Because locations that are tied together might in fact be better served by driverless. And again, location will be important. So maybe, but we don't know yet.
Well, there's also in the half-baked stuff section of your newsletter this week, a headline that says, "Waymo GM to deploy self-driving cars with or without Congress."
Well, yeah, I mean, in a sense, that whole discussion of where the Washington sits with respect to all of this is, some people in Washington have to write something. Washington and the public sector is way behind the companies on all of this. And in some sense, doing regulation at this point with respect to these industries is not the correct thing to do at this particular time. One doesn't know what to regulate or how to regulate. We're way, way too early for regulation. We have so much more to learn and so much more to appreciate or the subtleties to understand to start in there with regulatory swashbuckling out there trying to have Washington lead. Washington can't lead on this. The cat's out of the bag. The private sector sees this as an enormous opportunity to provide benefit and mobility that the public sector has been completely unable to provide, and to do it in an affordable way and make money off of it. And so they should be given the opportunity to do that. That said, because this is a business decision now, as opposed to a societal decision, Wall Street is acting as the regulator. And as the regulator on this, Wall Street wants performance, and the performance that they fully realize has to be a performance in which the safety element of all this, which is the key public sector responsibility here, is something that is paramount. Because Wall Street well knows that if safety is not is compromised in any way, that in fact the industry will die at the vine. They'll never get off the ground. And so, especially in the beginning, the entity that's actually best prepared to provide some sensibilities and regulation over the emerging technology is in fact Wall Street. Wall Street is doing it. Once it gets out there and we know a lot more, then maybe the public sector can go in there and basically provide the regulatory oversight. But again, I think that Washington should sit there and maybe threaten a little bit, but just sit back and watch and learn.
Interesting. In a sense, maybe they stumbled into doing what might be the right thing here.
I think hopefully, and I hope, and maybe we deserve to give them some credit that in fact, you know, they understand this very well and they're actually doing it. And it's the people that are writing about it that are sitting there trying to figure out something to write. But I believe that's really true, that at least the people that I know in Washington, they do understand this. And they do know that in fact, that's what I just described exists. And they're just as happy letting the industry move forward. But they're sitting there watching, and not much damage could be done anyway, since we are so at the beginning. As I've said several times, you know, if we compare this to the evolution from the horse to the automobile, and we take the beginning of the automobile to be the Benz patent in January 31st, 1886. We're still not in the 20th century yet. You know, we're probably sitting in 1895, 96, 97 in our evolution of this technology. Henry Ford hasn't appeared yet on the scene, and think if in 1900, you know, Washington was saying, oh, we have to regulate, and all these articles would appear about whether or not we're regulating or not regulating this stuff, it'd be, you know, completely silly. So anyway, that's sort of my perspective on the whole thing.
And that should wrap us up for this edition. You can find us at smartdrivingcar.com, now on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and more. Ask your smart speaker to play us too. You can find my tech reports at textonation.com. I'm Fred Fishkin, along with Alan Kornhauser. Thanks for listening.